Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is John Orr. Stand by for a conversation with John Orr coming up at 9:30. I always like to listen to Counterspin. It just gives you such a different perspective on things, and you realize that there's people in control that they want to give you one version of the news, one version of the events, one version of the facts, and everybody's got their biases from perception, but Counterspin just serves a really useful role in a reality check. So thanks to KMUN for having that show and the sponsor as well. Okay, well, let's get started here. The theme for welcome everybody to a conversation with John Orr. This is a call-in show, so we really invite your calls. Please make your comments or questions rather succinct so others can have an opportunity to participate. Today's topic is, should the state of Oregon ban plastic bags, non-recyclable plastic bags? So the number here is 503-325-0010, 325-0010. And please feel free to call and put in your two cents, give you a bit of a context, and maybe a sense of empowerment, your power, your political power, because our legislature is in session. And on account of that and public concern and perhaps maybe common sense, there is a bill called House Bill 2509, HB 2509. So you may want to consider contacting your elected representatives here on the North Coast. It's Betsy Johnson and Tiffany Mitchell. Betsy Johnson is our state senator, and Tiffany Mitchell is our newly elected state representative. And so what does the bill purport to do? It purports to ban the use of non-recyclable plastic bags. You can go to the Oregon Legislative Information Service, OLIS, and just Google HB 2509. You'll find there's been 31 or 32 exhibit testimonies provided, and they all seem favorable. That's an encouraging sign, including some positive words from your commercial retail lobbyists and the paper, the Forest and Paper Council. So, the natural grocers like it, obviously. I want to get to a couple things here. One is that there are alternatives and empowerments that we can undertake. You know, we can remember to bring our own bags for shopping ventures there. And if you have to go out in the car and get them because you forgot them, like me, like I do all the time, then, just do that. And cardboard boxes, they use them at Costco, and they use them at the local natural grocers out there in Warrenton. But as far as the law is concerned, we've got to look forward to more paper bags. And one issue that comes up is, should the retailer pick up the cost of the bags? And American Forest and Paper Association opposes a bag tax for the paper bags that they will probably be selling in greater numbers, saying that would cost each retail outlet among their, customers, $35,000 to $40,000. Looks like we've got a call. So let's see here. You're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
Well, good morning, John.
Yes.
This is Joyce down in Seaside, and we're not waiting for the state. We're working on a plastic bag ban here in Seaside, and several of the communities are. Also, it'd be nice if the state banned beat us there, but we don't want to take that chance. They've tried three other times and haven't passed it.
Wow.
But I've been talking to a lot of the merchants, and most people are in favor of getting rid of the plastics where the differences come with the pass-through fee, which is what the supermarkets and the forestry industry are actually supporting. That they want, the components they need is the 5 or 10 cent fee for any carry-out bag.
Yeah, because the statistic the association, I think it was Northwest Grocery Association, Sean Miller, who supports the bill, but doesn't wants a pass-through fee allowed because it'll cost $35,000 to $40,000 per store when they pick up the costs otherwise. So the 5 cents thing seems to be one glitch or challenge in the bill. I think it's going to pass, though, given the how the legislature's constituted. And just looking at the exhibits of testimony, there's a work session scheduled on March 28, 2019 at 1 p.m., and I'm told that's a positive sign. That means the bill's got traction.
Good. And also, Surfriders endorses the fee for the carry-out bags. And the main bottom line is, I know the supermarkets and the forest industry are getting the cost of the paper down that way, but what we're really trying to do is change people's behavior. We don't want to just switch paper bags or plastic bags for paper bags because they have their own issues. At least they go away much quicker than the plastic bags.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joyce. We need to have a consciousness which aligns ourselves more with the best interests of this planet that we should love, but we abuse. All of us do, sometimes consciously, usually unconsciously. If we make the connection between, the fact that 90% of all plastics that have been created since 1950 have not been recycled. And this is choking off fish, choking off and destroying bird populations. The Pacific Ocean has a garbage pile just floating around, all come together because of currents or whatnot, twice the size of Texas. That's a lot of garbage. It's just because we're lazy and unconscious and not being responsible stewards of the planet.
And so that gets back to the education. And yeah. And I think that's part of the importance of the plastic bag ban. I think we've been seeing a lot of, it's kind of a hot item now, how bad the plastics are in the ocean and our streams and everything. So I think that's really helping our momentum. But the bottom line is we need to quit using the single-use plastics.
Yeah, whether it's straws or plastic or the bottles, the bottles are the non-recyclable plastic water bottles. They're everywhere, and they are a big problem. They're filling up our landfills. If you used to use a Brita filter water bottle, it saves 1,800 pounds of 16-ounce bottles from landfills. Each single family that gets one of these can have that kind of impact. It's effortless, and it's kind of a no-brainer. And right here, I've got sitting something that here, it looks like a plastic water bottle, but it's not. It's just got the convenience of, reusability, and you can fill it up because in the top, the wide part of the bottle, you can unscrew it. These are things individuals, if they really care about or love the planet, can do. And I really, really appreciate your call and your concern, Joyce.
Well, thank you.
Okay, you have a good day.
Okay, you too, John.
Thanks. Bye. And maybe we have another. No, somebody's holding. I guess I have to wait for the flashing light. So yeah, the problem. I think everybody is starting to get tuned in on the problem. And maybe we have another caller here. This is John Orr. Conversations, John Orr. Thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
Yes, John. This is Russ Mead. I'm also in Seaside, Oregon, and what I'm finding interesting is that the businesses that we're talking to about the single-use bag ban, they seem for it. The small businesses are, at least around here, they're not big box stores. They're somebody that comes in every morning and opens the store up with their keys, and they live, if not in Seaside, close to Seaside, and they don't want to see the trash blown around the streets and they don't want to see bags and the seagrass. And, of course, everybody here is concerned about the ocean. This is a very much an ocean-centric place. And, we just don't want the animals to be harmed. And so, there might be some technical issues about, how much do you charge for a bag or how do we get it rolled out. But everybody seems for the concept of let's get rid of these things. It's going to make a nicer place for us to live. And then it's a nicer place for people to come visit. So, it's not like it seems like there's a big controversy here. It's like, how do we get it done? How do we get a bag ban in place? Not, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Which, I'm encouraged by. So
yeah.
It's just a lot of details on how much do you charge. I even went online and started looking at, what it costs to buy paper bags in bulk. And there's no shortage of places that are going to sell you, huge quantity of bags for under 10 cents a bag, and that's at almost retail kinds of costs. So I think a pass-through is not going to be a burden for anybody. And as Joyce, who just called in, said, the main thing is to get people to start bringing those reusables into the store. And around here, I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem because people are always carrying bags. I mean, you don't go out onto the beach empty-handed. You're usually carrying something. So whether it's a backpack or it's a beach bag or it's a something, we always seem to walk around this town at least with something in our hands. So this just means you've always got that thing with you that you put other things into. So I think it's going to work here, and I think we're all excited about there just being, a fewer of those white things blowing across the street and, into the grass.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with more. Thanks for the call. And, yeah, I'd just like to express a personal gripe. When I was in college in the 70s, I took a class on environmental economics, and they had a term which you may or not be familiar with. It's called externalities. And an externality is where a company, such as a steel mill or a petrochemical facility, uses the air or uses the water without charge, in many cases, to create their product or to dump their waste. And that is really the public and the planet subsidizing a private operation. And we see the same thing here with those plastic bags. One of the recyclers from the central part of the state testified, and he said that, it's wishful thinking that we put these things in these plastic bags in the recycle bin. And the recycling, they don't recycle them. They just grind up the machines. They stop them. They don't work it. It's unfair for the public to subsidize corporations at the expense of our natural resources. Indeed, the viability of human and animal populations. So we have another caller. This is The Conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question, please?
I have a question. I'm totally for banning plastic bags and plastic non-reusable products. But the other question I have is, how is this getting in the ocean? We have to be dumping garbage out there.
That's a good question. One article I read, and some of this is just common sense, is that the wind blows garbage around, and that's sort of the innocuous explanation. Another one is that there are countries or ships or companies, unscrupulous companies, that will just get out where nobody's looking and they'll unload it. And I suspect there would only have to be a small incidence of that over a long time for that to create what we got in the Pacific Ocean, and that is a garbage pile consisting primarily of plastics equal to twice the size of the state of Texas. So, try as we may to, keep garbage cans closed or to be responsible, there's people, there's companies, there's nations that are not responsible. So it seems like the answer is just get rid of or tax the hell out of plastic producers.
And quit allowing dumping of garbage into the ocean.
Oh, absolutely.
I know that this is a common practice.
You do?
Yeah. And I don't think I think the United States is just as much to blame. Well, I see ships going out. I see tugs going out with garbage.
Well, the Daily Beast had an article yesterday that was timely and helpful for me, and that one thinker was quoted as saying, it was a professor actually, that plastic is suffocating the earth. There, this may or not be common knowledge that plastics, some of them break down in a couple hundred years, some of them never break down chemically to their individual elements or constituents. They're complex molecules. They don't occur in nature. They're created by man. They're long molecule chains. And the thing about that is that to the extent they break down physically into little pieces, chewed up, crushed up, they are getting into the food chain. They're getting into the animal food chain. They're getting into the fish food chain, the bird food chain. And the humans who eat seafood may be now or in the foreseeable future consuming microfibers made of petrochemically based plastics into their bodies, into their systems, and who knows what the heck that's going to do to our DNA, our disease, but it can't be good.
I like your idea of just taxing them.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And that's the thing from college, you know, externalities should not be allowed. If you're using a public resource, particularly if it's noxious, toxic, pollutive, destructive, you should pay for it. Ideally, we all take personal responsibility and we bring our recyclable shopping bags and we bring our recyclable, you know, not one-time use water bottles to bear. There's companies that are making water filters. They're making steel straws. There's plenty of bags available. Companies like Costco and natural grocers are using cardboard, so that people that don't remember to bring their bags have options. Cardboard's recyclable. I'm excited about what appears to be momentum for this bill. And this bill, HB 2509, which is before the Oregon legislature, is going to make all states, I mean all the cities, according to what I've read, accountable, and all plastic retailers and grocery and retail outlets all accountable under the same law. Right now, Silverton, Medford, Ashland, Florence, Corvallis, McMinnville, and Portland all have non-recyclable plastic bans in place. So this thing has caught fire, and it seems like, from what I read in the legislative testimony, there is no significant option to this bill. I mean, the only place it could get hung up is on the fee that would be charged for the paper bag. So thank you so much for your call. It looks like we've got a line waiting. Thanks again. And, this is a good topic. Elizabeth Mentre, if I can say her name, suggested it, and Lolly Champion, if I can use her name, wrote an impassioned and moving letter about the urgent need for us to act as stewards for the planet. And this is one place we can make a difference. We can make a difference in passage of law, HB 2509, and also by our own behavior, as Joyce from Seaside mentioned. This is The Conversation with John Orr. Thanks for the call. What's your comment or question?
Hi, my name is Laura Allen. I live in Seaside, Oregon. And I'm just calling in to promote our efforts to ban plastic bags in Seaside. We talked with the city council a couple weeks ago, and we're hopeful that we'll become one of the first cities along the coast, next to Manzanita, to ban single-use carry-out plastic bags.
That's great. Really appreciate that. We got another caller. I don't know why Astoria hasn't gotten into that, but the matter may be moot. May be moot because the Oregon legislature has HB 2509 on its calendar for March 28th for a work session. This is a gone. So yeah. Okay, I guess I need the flashing light. Okay, well, I guess it'll flash and then we'll take the call. I think we got a caller on hold, so bear with us here. Plastic is suffocating the earth, and the people are apparently now starting to become aware of it. And now we have another caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your comment or question?
Hi, John. This is Nadia Gardner from Arch Cape, way down south.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for the conversation. Really timely. I just wanted to make a couple comments. One is that I just wanted to honor, as you've been doing, honoring the business people who have voluntarily been stepping forward. For example, the natural grocers, Costco, and the old cash and carry who's name has changed and I can never keep track of. But also coming up, Fred Meyer's in Warrenton is voluntarily banning the bag. But also there's other local business people who have been stepping forward. For example, the Seaside Brewing, who's a restaurant actually that is minimizing their impacts using paper and compostable takeout items. So I think that's really great. And I especially as we come into the Earth Week month, I'm hoping that more business people will take that step. And until we get statewide and local ordinances in effect, which I completely support.
That's fantastic. Yes, a shout to all the companies that are identifying with the interest of the planet and their community as well as their bottom line. We need more of that. Maybe that'll be the beginning of a change. Maybe this up-and-coming generation of entrepreneurs and businesswomen and men will recognize that we are part of a cycle. We're all part of a unity, and it's one in which the health of our, our children, our grandchildren, our communities, our nations we all share an interest in, and it's got to be part of the conversation. And that's, we got to change the way we do things. Just if it's all about the profit and it's not about the conscience or the consciousness, then it'll be grim indeed.
If I could make one more comment, the other one I left off the list was the Astoria Co-op, which has really been a leader in the Astoria area. Mm-hmm. And I really like what they do is instead of giving 5 cents off, which some of the retailers do when you bring your own bag, they make donations to local nonprofits. And I think that really motivates people because sometimes 5 and 10 cents is not enough to change behavior.
Yeah.
And I'll also mention that back in the day, Trader Joe's was actually really a leader mm-hmm. in getting people to change their behavior. Back, say, 15 or 20 years ago, they had a program where every time you got your brought your bag, you were entered into a raffle to win a free bag of groceries.
That's
and every
cool.
month, they pulled those raffle tickets. And so things like that, you know, they can get really creative to get people to think twice about what they're doing. And I encourage all of our local business people to think about that. Finally, I just wanted to make a quick point that, of course, Seaside is very active right now, and I really laud those local volunteers in bringing that forward to City Council. But Astoria has also been talking about it and is looking at reviving that conversation, so I encourage Astorians to talk to their local representatives, city representatives. And then the county also had a work session about this at the end of last year, and other communities are talking about it as well. Already passed on the North Coast are bag bans in Manzanita and in Wheeler, and I think Bay City even down in Tillamook County. And Tillamook County as a whole mm-hmm. is looking to be the first county to ban them countywide in the state. So really some great activity happening, some real leadership from those communities, and I'm super excited to see that all that movement happening.
Hey, Nadia, thanks so much for the call. We've got another caller. I guess we have to wait for the light to flash. Yeah, that's really exciting. And just a reminder to follow up from an earlier show, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m., the Astoria Planning Commission is meeting to revisit and take perhaps important decisions on the height restrictions. So show up and maybe you can put some comments for the public good on this topic as well. This is a conversation with John Orr. What's your comment or question?
Good morning, John. My name is Roger Stone. I'm from Hammond. Two quick comments. I don't know about you, but I've noticed every garbage pickup day, all of the plastic trash blowing out of mm-hmm. the garbage trucks. I think there's a cure for that. And also in our use of plastic, something I haven't heard discussed before is the use of plastic disposable diapers. They're almost all plastic, and they're everywhere.
Oh,
you
boy.
Know the fix to that. Thank you.
Thank Bye. You so much for your call. And I really enjoy the comments and the important role the community has in finding its voice here. And thank you, Roger Stone, for that for those comments, and Nadia Gardner. The Oregon legislature, as I've probably said a couple times already, is considering HB 2509. The number here is 503-325-0010. The topic today is, should the state of Oregon ban non-reusable plastic bags? And I'm getting a sense of real momentum. And I hope this is part of perhaps a wave of community participation and activism to protect our planet. Because, folks, it's really under siege. I don't mean to talk about, you know, my college days so much, but I sense that there was a wave of ecological disasters in the offing back in the 70s. Barry Commoner wrote about in The Closing Circle, and Rachel Carson in her book from 1962. And so, you know, we've had lots of warnings, and it's just about our values. You can't eat plastic. You need to have fish. It's got omegas. So this is really kind of a basic common sense thing is, what's the most important thing to us as a community, as a people, as a species, and do we recognize our responsibilities? And one way we can do that is passing more laws like HB 2509. And it looks like we have another caller. It's a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for your call. What's your question or comment?
Hello?
You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed.
I got two things. Costco does not put out bags. They have always put things in cardboard boxes.
Right. I commented on that and gave them a shout-out a couple times already.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing is, I think what we ought to do to make everybody happy with this idiot get-rid-of-plastic thing is just ban plastic. Period. Then you couldn't. You wouldn't have televisions. You wouldn't have cell phones. You wouldn't have anything.
That's a provocative comment. Well, it does seem like there are exceptions being made in the HB 2509. For damp products like flowers and for, you know, fish, meat, and vegetables, there will be a limited exception for the use of those there. But is the caller, Ed, is that a sort of a tongue-in-cheek suggestion, ban all plastics?
No, it's not. I get so tired of listening to people talk about get rid of plastic bags, because do you take your plastic bags and dump them out in your front yard so they blow around? I don't.
No,
I put them in the trash.
Not intentionally. We have big winds here. Sometimes things get away.
No, come off it. Yeah. Unless your trash can blows over, they're going to stay in the trash. I have yet to see a plastic bag blow down my street.
Yeah. We keep ours all consolidated with the dream, the wishful thinking, as one witness said at the hearing. That they will be recycled, but it's just a wishful thing. It's wishful thinking. So the ban on plastics, this should not be a conversation, Ed. I agree with you.
Well,
confined simply to plastic bags. Excuse me.
One other thing, and I'll get off of here. Wait till a good rainstorm, and you go to the market, and you get everything in paper bags, which I have done, and walk to your car, and by the time you get to your car, all the bags are soaked.
Yeah, yeah. An easy solution. Bring your own non-paper bags.
Couldn't bring. If you go, good heavens, how many bags? You can't pick them up if you do that.
Well, the bags are light. I can stuff four or five of them in one large bag. They have them, you know, IKEA and other places like. They're really large. They're indestructible. That's right. And so if you have them, but you reuse them rather than the skinny, non-reusable ones that are issued by the store, weight should not be an issue, and it would solve the wet.
But you can't pick them up when they load them up.
Well, maybe get some assistance. I mean, just if you use enough bags and you use smaller ones rather than, I mean, I can pick them up, but maybe not everybody, you know, is as strong as me. But, you know, not like a weightlifter, heavy duty style. You just put them in smaller bags and, you know, you just make more.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I said. We should ban all plastic, period. Shut it down.
Well, I appreciate the call, Ed. Appreciate the comments. And, you know, I like the direction of his thinking, is that we need to re-examine all the products, all the consumer habits, all the things we think we need when, in fact, we only want. And do they make us happier? Do they fulfill some need? Do we, at the same time, recognize the impact I lived on of these purchases, of this lifestyle, this consumer lifestyle? I lived on a commune. And we were completely, well, no, I take that back. We were aspiring to self-sufficiency and grew our own food, but there were limits to that. But it certainly gave me a context of how much we can, by growing our own food, by put our thinking caps on. Heck, we're an advanced society. There's lots of ways to recycle and to use plastic items. So what a great show. I'd like to thank everybody who called in and all the listeners who listened, and thank Lolly for making her suggestion and Elizabeth here at the station. We'll return to this because we need to save our planet, and that's not unnecessarily apocalyptic or alarmist rhetoric. If we're starting to eat the plastic, which I guess from the United States alone, the plastic bottles is enough to circle the globe three times. The statistics are horrifying. So thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back next Friday with Mayor Bruce Jones, the city of Astoria. There's a meeting again of the Planning Commission at the City Hall on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. The Planning Commission will be revisiting and perhaps deciding on the issue of height restrictions. Apparently last week, or at the last meeting, the Planning Commission heard from the property owners along the riverfront. So be there if you care. And thanks so much to everybody. Thanks to the station for allowing me the opportunity to do this show. And we're coming up pretty soon, about a minute. It'll be 10 o'clock. I might as well go ahead and do the station ID here. Coast Community Radio is KMUN, Astoria 91.9. KTCB is 89.5, streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you missed the show, you will not be able to call in, but you will be able to listen to it in its entirety by going to coastradio.org on the interweb. And you can go to podcasts and listen, and hopefully you can find Conversation with John Orr. Music provided by Buck Reed. This is The Waiting Room.